You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
I suppose we should start from the beginning. So on June 9th, there is, I suppose, the first major rally against government, where there's been, I think, around a million people came out and protested against the bill. Basically, on the night of that rally and that protest, the government released a clause and saying that, yes, we heard the protests, we heard that there is strong opposition from the public against the bill, but we have explained that to you that this is not actually going to harm Hong Kong's liberty or freedom, and therefore we are still going to push the bill in the Legislative Council. And therefore, on Wednesday, which was the predetermined date for the Legislative Council have to pass the bill, protesters, more likely young and radical protesters, came out and then decided to try and storm the Legislative Council if at all possible. They didn't. They failed because of extreme police brutality, which including firing of tear gas and basically unbridled use of police violence against defenseless and also peaceful protesters. So in the end, even the peaceful protesters who did not engage in any sort of violent activities, not that there are any, were being beaten brutally by the police.
Yeah, there's been some reports that there is violence in the protests. Is that true? Is that something that's been happening? Or,
well, it depends on how you define violence, because in, I guess, the broadest sense, yes, there has been certain cases where protesters have threw bricks and against the police, but on a sort of narrower sense, there isn't really much violence going on, mainly because the police were very well protected and very well equipped, and there really wasn't any sort of fatality or injuries dealt by the protesters against the police. On the other hand, though, the police, which, as I mentioned, are very well equipped and very basically have much more equipment, is able to inflict much more damage against the protesters. So it depends on how you define violence.
Because I know you weren't part of the group that stormed the legislative building, but what have you been part of? What protests have you been part of or witnessed?
So I didn't directly storm the Legislative Council or the Parliament, but I did help secure the perimeter against any potential police countering against the protesters within the Legislative Council. So I helped create barricades and helped basically scout ahead in the perimeter so that if at all there are police trying to move in against the protesters inside the Legislative Council, I could then therefore tell them to either to prepare themselves or, if, which is the case now, to retreat from the building.
So the building was stormed or it wasn't stormed?
So the building was stormed, definitely. Protesters have tried using different means, such as using basically just smashing against the windows and smashing through the doors to get inside the Legislative Council. It started on the morning of the 1st of July, and then eventually, these protesters succeeded in the night of the 1st of July, and for a brief sort of 3 hours, so we the protesters were able to get inside the Legislative Council.
Yeah, what's the reasoning behind storming the building?
Well, on a sort of like superficial level, it's mostly because we already surrounded the building prior to the storming, so it's a convenient location for us to storm the building. Well, on a symbolic level, or sort of on a more political level, the Legislative Council represents the sort of government's violence against the people. Many do not know, especially abroad, in Hong Kong, the Legislative Council is not really a sort of democratic institution. Only half of the members of Legislative Council are elected directly by the people, and half of them are sort of elected by bourgeois members of the society. So therefore, the government essentially has absolute control over the parliament, and a lot of bills that were very much opposed by the public were still were able to be passed because the government has essentially half the parliament under their control. So by storming the parliament, the protesters are basically sort of declaring and sort of reclaiming parliament for the people against the government.
Are the protesters, are these groups politically affiliated? How are they organized?
Yes, and that is perhaps the most interesting aspect of this particular protest in this year. So unlike very previous sort of protests, there isn't really a sort of main or primary organizer. Instead, protesters organize themselves using social media and basically a very leaderless and bottom-up movement this protest is. And the reasoning behind this is twofold. So on the one hand, previous protests have been hampered by the fact that there is a leader and the government could had arrested these leaders and essentially sort of broke apart the protest before it really got into like something that is serious or sort of really sort of challenging the rule of the government. And on the other hand, it's more of an internal conflict, is because there has been a lot of different sort of opinions within the opposition camp, and people couldn't really agree on certain topics, including how to approach the government or how to actually do anything when we occupy the Legislative Council. And therefore, we decided that the best way to actually manage the whole dilemma between these different voices and different opinions within the opposition camp is to basically forego the idea of having a leader and just have a sort of more direct democratic approach using social media and sort of internet polls in order to go through the motions of like occupation and stuff.
Could you speak a little bit on the different voices and perspectives that are in this movement?
There's mainly two main sides of this, of Hong Kong's opposition nowadays. On one hand, there's the more peaceful and scholarly kind of protesters who believe that through peaceful and sort of non-violent means, using non-cooperation tactics, we could achieve some sort of whatever the goal is. So in this case, to force the government to retract the bill. But, well, because the government is not democratically elected, the success of this camp has varied very much, like from actually successful to just completely ignored by the government. The other side of the other voice on the opposition camp is the radical camp. I wouldn't say violent in the case of killings and sort of intentional injuring, perhaps just more direct action protests. This camp believed that only through sort of direct action, occupation, and sort of storming the different government institutions could we actually force the government to listen to the people. And these are the two main camps.
I guess I'm trying to understand why a protest is going to continue, because as far as I know, the bill hasn't been retracted, it's been suspended, right?
So I suppose the primary concern of the protesters now have changed slightly. So now that the bill has been suspended, we still demand the bill to be retracted completely, but the primary concern right now is mainly along the lines of like trying to get an independent investigation against police brutality that happened throughout these protests throughout June, basically. And also we're starting to demand more. So we're demanding for actual universal suffrage, which was the main concern of the umbrella movement 5 years ago. And now we're trying to bring that agenda back into today's protest. As for right now, there hasn't been a clear sort of next protest or next step of the way. We are still trying to do it on a more, still on social media right now. And the next step is yet to be decided.
Are these protests related to the umbrella movement a few years back?
Well, so on the superficial level, it's not, because the two different protests have different demands. So the umbrella movement is mostly about getting universal suffrage, which ultimately failed. And this protest is much more single issue, much more about just trying to get the bill retracted. Obviously, the people who participated in the umbrella movement are very much still participating in this protest against the government, but we are also seeing a lot of people who did not go through the umbrella movement came to protest against the government for this bill, because I suppose it's much more direct threat against our freedom. Like, people are more inclined to stand out when the freedom is being taken away from them rather than demanding for more freedom.
I've heard reports this is a large mobility of specifically the youth. So what kind of people are protesting?
Well, basically all walks of life, and basically there isn't really much of a sort of demographically significant portion of people trying to go out. Of course, there are more young people than old people going out, mostly because young people couldn't really see their future in Hong Kong under China's direct rule, while old people, I suppose, are more or less satisfied with their status quo and more or less satisfied by the fact that they have earned enough in their lives and didn't really want to create more trouble, I suppose. But then, while this is still in some ways true, it's also very clear that almost all ages and all walks of life are involved in this.
Are there a large amount of people who don't agree with the protests, or have you had difficult conversations with people who don't agree with the protests?
In terms of supporters for the bill, there are obviously some. It's a difficult sort of question to answer, because some protesters against the bill would claim that these supporters are funded by the Chinese government. Well, I suppose there might very well be the case. It's also true that some are not being paid for by the Chinese government, and purely they are supporting a bill purely because they really believe that this extradition bill could fill some sort of gap in Hong Kong's legal system and something like that. There's also the more cynical approach that, like, anything that the anti-government protesters are against, we have to support, even though they don't really understand or are not really behind the bill per se. But yes, I suppose there are also.
Would you say the majority of Hong Kongers are protesting, or is there quite a mixture in terms of their reaction or their perspective?
I think the protesters far outnumber the supporters. Perhaps it's my bias, but the fact that 2 million people came out against the bill, and perhaps around, let's say, 10,000 people came out supporting the bill, shows a clear disparity in sort of public opinion for and against the bill. I would definitely say the public opinion is way more against the bill rather than.
So before, you mentioned police brutality as one of the main concerns of the protests. Have you witnessed any police brutality while you are out protesting?
I've seen police using tear gas. I haven't witnessed any sort of police using way violent weapons, but there are very much video evidence of police striking protesters with their batons and using rubber bullets, aiming for their heads and aiming for their sort of eyes instead of, like, you know, the conventional sort of aiming for their legs or aiming for their sort of center mass, and which is less lethal or less painful or less dangerous than aiming for the head and the eye. So I wouldn't say I witnessed directly the police using excessive force, but video evidence definitely support any sort of, like, claim that police are using excessive force.
That was all of the questions I had prepared, but was there anything else you wanted to add or anything you wanted to ask me? Yeah, it means a lot that you're taking your time out to talk to me.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just a bit, I don't know.
How are things in Hong Kong at the moment? What's it like? What would you say the atmosphere is, or is everything back to normal?
I think it's bittersweet. I think that's one thing that is I could say about the atmosphere of Hong Kong. It's now bittersweet. On one hand, Hong Kong is experiencing some of its most tragic moments. Protesters against the bill who might not see that their protests are working have committed suicide. Actually, four of them have took their own lives because they think that perhaps this would help persuade the government in sort of suspending the bill or sort of trying to listen to the protesters. The government obviously did not respond to any of these suicides, mainly because, well, it would be a huge PR disaster if they acknowledged the fact that people have died because of policies that they are pushing actively. Well, on the other hand, it's also a very heartwarming moment, especially on the opposition camp, obviously, that people have been helping each other throughout the way. When people are feeling emotionally sick and are showing suicidal tendencies, protesters are actually organizing themselves and finding these, they're trying to find these people who might take their own lives and trying to persuade them to not stop and trying to stop them from doing it. There's also been cases where protesters who have been beaten by the police, and so when protesters are being beaten by police, other protesters would help and actually get these protesters away from the police, even though it might hurt themselves while doing so. There's a lot of heartwarming stories around these protests, and I suppose it's a really bittersweet sort of.
I'm sorry to hear that things have been so stressful and tense.
There's also like a lot of different arrests going on, and it's sort of a terrifying moment right now if you've been around the protests, because the police have been arresting protesters who have been around these protests and trying to, I guess, terrorize potential protesters not going to these protests anymore. And that's also very concerning.
Are they being arrested for protesting, or are they being arrested for other charges?
Some of them are arrested because of protesting. So some of them, well, the officially said that they're rioters, but, well, it's very much a sort of political, not really objective sort of claim. It's much more terrorizing tactic, in my opinion. But also some people who have been arrested are arrested because they helped spread certain information around the internet. So I'm not sure what particular information they're spreading, but they're arrested because they are simply going online and help spreading the message. There are also people who are arrested because they're transporting certain resources or certain items for the protest, but these items are very much household daily items, including the asthma medicine, and the government or the police have been claiming that the asthma medicine is some sort of toxin and therefore is arresting the drivers who are sort of transporting these items. So, yes, there's been a real sort of persecution going on against the dumpsters, yes.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that. Like, fuck, that sounds terrifying. Like, I don't even know how to respond, because that's something very hard to quantify, that the exercise of power. Are there any other things that you're worried about or that you find really stressful at the moment in terms of the protests?
I don't know if that's like particularly stressful for me right now, because I just kind of don't want to think much about it. I mean, I wasn't really sort of in the direct crossfires of the police, so I couldn't much say much about sort of being in the front line. Sort of, yes. I mean, I've been tear gas and sort of such, but that's more like an area effect sort of thing. And it's really hard to sort of say that my experience could equate to people who are actually standing in front of the police and trying to break through their sort of lines. But I suppose for many Hong Kong people, this is a real mental health sort of crisis right now. And I think perhaps this is the more long-lasting effect than any sort of political implication that this protest might be involved in. I think the pressing mood that surrounds Hong Kong right now is a much more major concern than any sort of like police or sort of any sort of government reaction against this. And really the main concern of a lot of people right now is to help trying to stop any more people who might be considering suicide. And I think in some respect, this is why a lot of these protests have stopped right now, because we're still trying to figure out how to be more prepared for the emotional toll of these protests. And I think we still need a little bit of rest after all of this.
That's something that I think a lot of people don't realize about protests. Like there's the physical aspect, but thank you for speaking on the emotional side and the mental side, because I think you're being incredibly humble, but I think it's incredibly brave and incredibly emotionally draining to just go out and mobilize and take a stance for something, right?
Yeah, I think that's about it. I've said a lot of the, like, most things I kind of want to
say. Thank you.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.